Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hi, Nicole. How's your week going?
Oh, not too bad, Cindy.
Good, and you're feeling better from your accident, I hope. People sent lots of emails wishing you get well and everything, so I'm hoping you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better. Obviously the first couple of days is always, you know, the worst. But, couple of bumps, couple of bruises, and, you know, I'm going to therapy every day, so, you know, I'm getting there.
Okay, good, and we'll just keep saying our prayers that you get better soon, and we're glad you're okay, because this show really needs you, the world needs you, Lisa needs you, your mom needs you, everybody needs you, so I hope it helps you. It's a little bit of a wake-up call. Did you evaluate some of your life after that accident?
Yes, I did. Yes, I most certainly did, and believe it or not, even last week when I was, like, laughing about it, and, you know, like, making the best of it or whatever. Because, you know, like you said, you know, I said last week, you know, you were so right on so many things or whatever. And, you know, the universe has just got its way of making you do things, you know, even if you're too afraid to take the plunge. And after, you know, I saw all of the correlations between, you know, just different things that you had said and different things that other people were telling me, I really did do a lot of reevaluating. And, you know, I'm making some changes, you know, actively now. I mean, it took, you know, my car to flip over, you know, for it to finally get through my thick skull. But, you know, I think that I definitely have a different perspective on what's important and what's not important and, you know, how to prioritize a little bit better.
Right. And it's just those New York minutes where our life can change on a dime in a second. And
oh, yes.
By the grace of God, yours changed, but it didn't change, you know, knock on wood, in a permanent way with any massive major injuries. That's knock on wood. I mean, but just that you've gotten through this, and really that's what makes us say, oh, life is short, life is precious. And it's just those little moments. Am I doing what I would, if I were going to die tomorrow, did I do what I wanted to do? Was I where I wanted to be in the world? And, you know, that's how you evaluate even a career. Like, I'm doing what I would want to do to the end of my life, and I would feel happy about it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm in that position. And that's what, everyone has a mission. Everyone has a job that they're meant to do. So I hope that, you know, you reevaluate your career choices and where you're going that way, too.
Yep.
Is that on your mind?
Yeah, I'm reevaluating everything, you know, just, you know, it's when you have your mind set on one goal, you know, you sit there and a lot of times you just look at the goal itself and you don't really look at the path that you're on. It sounds slow, so cliche, you know, but you do have to take time to stop and smell the roses. And if that, you know, if you're on a path that's just not allowing you to do that, I mean, that's not quality of life. You know, I mean, you can have a goal in your head, you know, all you want, but without the quality of life there, that there's really no point in even going for that goal, because you're going to be miserable while you're achieving it, and then you're going to resent it once you get it.
Exactly.
You know?
So that's why I said these are the moments in which we take a little moment to think where we're going for the rest of our lives, and you know, at least for the rest of the year, you know, like let's take it 1 year at a time, but you know, go forward and see what happens, and really, when I pull your cards, this is a new career coming and really good things for you. So I'm not worried about you.
Awesome. And you know what, like even like we tell our listeners all the time that we have to have faith and we have to sometimes let go and let God, you know, I mean, and to a great extent prior to this accident, I was trying to be very controlling about a lot of things, you know, and you had given me advice, you know, this other friend of mine, you know, who's like my older sister had given me, you know, the same exact advice, you know, and she's also very gifted, Cindy. You know, so, I mean, I'm getting all of this divine guidance coming at me from all different ends, yet when push came to shove, I still felt that need to try to control, you know, the jump, so to speak, you know.
Right,
and, you
exactly.
Know, it really, really was, you know, an eye-opener to where I just have to say, you know what, God's not going to give me any more than I can handle, and sometimes you have to slow down in your course just to pick up some speed, you know, before you cramp out, so to speak, and, you know, you have to let go and let God, and you have to have faith in that, and, you know, it's a practice that I often preach, but that I don't practice 100% of the time for myself, and this accident really helped me see that I do have to practice what I preach, and when I tell people to let go and let God, I have to do the same for myself.
Exactly, and that control freak thing is characteristic of older souls who've been around the planet a few times. They tend to think they have a good job, they have a good this, good that, because they did it all by themselves. Excuse me, God can nuke our world in a second, you
yeah.
know, so we can be doing everything perfect, be careful and cautious is what we're asked to do. But if God wants a lightning bolt to strike us, it'll strike us. And
yeah.
so we have to start realizing, yes, we're asked to do what we have to do, try to manifest the life that we want through our steps, through our work, through our labors of love. But that doesn't mean we don't need God, and that doesn't mean ultimately that we make all this happen. We do need the universe and God to sort of give us that applause and get us going forward. So that was your message.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got it.
I did.
And I'm sure there's listeners out there that hearing this going, oh, that's my message for today too.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely, because you know what I mean, even on this show, even myself, you know, as I'm in and out of the chat rooms and I'm hearing the advice that you dispense, you know, on a weekly basis, and I hear messages to myself all the time. I don't often want to recognize them sometimes when it's not what I want to hear, but I hear the messages, I just don't follow them all the time, you know, and then, you know, there is no bigger eye-opener than a minivan hitting you, you know?
I don't think there's any bigger eye-opening than any kind of an accident. You know, there's been times when I've been in such a hurry that I have tried to open and close the door at the same moment. You know what? In the car door. You know what that meant? I hit my head with the car door and gave a
God.
How can you get out of the car at the same time you're closing the door? I mean, come on. How big a hurry are you? And I had a goosebump on the size of a baseball on my head for like a week. And I said, that just goes to show, slow down. You know,
yep.
accidents in general mean, you know, slow down, pay attention, even if it wasn't your fault, the accident. And oftentimes they're not. It's that's even a wake-up call that you can be careful and cautious. But, you know, it's a random act of karma out there. You can be hit by anything, you know, the meteor falling. So, you know, again, you must have had all the spirit guides and angels and all the dead people that we conjure up in this show every week sat in that car and just protected your little body. So all the good karma you threw out there kept you reasonably safe.
And you know what, Cindy? I absolutely know that I definitely had people on my shoulder. You know, I definitely had people looking out for me. I actually, believe it or not, felt it the night before. That there was like something around that there was something coming, and it was so funny because like for a split second like time almost down when I was in that car, you know, time just nearly slowed, and all of a sudden like I saw like the horizon just tipping in the wrong direction.
No.
Literally. You know, and then all of a sudden I looked down or whatever, and I remembered saying to myself, "Oh my God, my car is on the pavement." My car pavement, and I'm still in the car, I'm still secured by my seatbelt, and everything is like jumbled and upside down, and I remembered seeing the glass and literally looking at the asphalt, and you know what, it wasn't the first time that I saw that in that particular scene.
Wow.
I don't know if I saw it in a dream, I don't know if I daydreamt it at any point, But all I know is that, like, I literally, you know, I saw that before, and I was like, that's, and I, and it clicked. I was like, that's what you were trying to tell me.
Right. And again, there's little warnings.
And it wasn't until I acknowledged, though, it was not until I acknowledged that's what you were trying to tell me that I had the wherewithal to say, okay, I can't breathe. I got to get out of here. And then, you know, I had the people, you know, help me get, you know, help get me out of the car. But it wasn't until that acknowledgement came that I actually have the wherewithal to free myself from that situation. You know, so it was such a literal, you know, a literal and metaphysical liberation all at the same time.
Oh, wow. Well, we're just glad that that's the happy ending of that saga, because those are scary. Car accidents are really very scary. I mean, it's one of my fears. I don't fear dying. I just fear kind of like, I don't, life is hard enough with all my parts and where they belong. And, you know, it just like, I want to be in one piece. I mean, it's in my journey in life, just I want to keep the limbs that I've been born with. You know, that would be nice. So,
okay.
Well, anyway, I see we have a lot of callers. Do you want to jump into the first one? I don't know where 786 is. I have no idea what that is.
I don't know where 786 is either, but we're about to find out. Just so you know that we're identifying you, 786, the last four digits are going to be 2395, okay? And as always, I don't screen the first call, so let's see what we got waiting. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. You've been waiting a long time. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida.
Florida. Okay, we get a lot of Florida callers. Is your weather warm there?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you're so lucky. And what's your first name, by the way?
Yolanda.
Okay, Yolanda, do you have a question or something you want insight onto or whatever you want to share with us? You can start now.
I was basically wanting to know, my relationship has been going kind of downhill, and I know you had told me several months ago to swim and fight for it. And I just have been trying, but it's not really working, and I wanted to know what was going on.
Okay, you have done your best. You know, in terms of the universe, you did need to fight for that relationship because it was a soulmate. It was important to you. But the cards that came up this time are saying you tried doing what was guided to you, put 2 feet in and see what works. Now you have to do the other end of that spectrum. You have to take 2 feet out of the relationship. And it's going to feel terrible because it's going to feel like a death. It's going to not be easy for you, but he's going to have to start missing you and realize that you can't keep this sort of 1 foot in, 1 foot out of the relationship. And taking 2 feet out, no texting, no talking, no communication, he will have to look inward and see if he will seek some help that he needs. The relationship looks like if you don't do that, Yolanda, I don't like to have to be the bearer of bad news, but it looks like it's going to get really toxic. I mean, you're a nice person. You've shut up a lot for a lot of things that he's done. The relationship with another, if he had done to another woman what he's done to you, she would have killed him already. So at this point, you can't keep shutting up. You can't keep making peace at any price. There's a lot of anxiety in your picture. It looks like he has the potential to really betray you and hurt you at this point. So before that happens, taking that 2 feet out and seeing what happens, you have a very good 5-year period opening up, but it's not quite yet. You have to do what you have to do. Toxic love becomes an addiction, whether we know it or not. And if we've ever judged any addicts, alcoholics or otherwise, God, it's God's way of saying, okay, you little wise ass, wait till you see how hard it is to break away from a relationship, particularly one that is toxic, because you will get withdrawal symptoms. You're going to feel sick. You're going to feel bad. You're going to feel like you can't get out of bed. Maybe you'll be tempted to call him to get a fix and get a momentary high, but I would advise you not to do that. You need to be strong on this. What's been happening in your relationship that it's been going downhill? What's actually been going on?
Basically, we have communication issues. There's things that he needs to handle that he hasn't handled, and it's affecting our relationship. The last time that I called, you had told me that his father wanted me to fight for him, and I just want him to know, in case he comes in, that I've just done all that I can do.
Right, and actually,
the
death card came up next to a man, which is definitely his dad, and he's actually giving you the okay to end it now. You see, there's a point in which even the souls who, you know, like his dad gifted you to his son, they don't gift a soulmate for their child to destroy and hurt you. So ultimately, his father or any parent will shift to the other side and be on your side and say, look, I didn't bring this relationship for him to be abusive of you or for him to hurt you. And I'm not saying it would definitely be over. You know, it is a free will universe. It's hard to totally predict what someone will do. But in taking 2 feet out, and that means, you know, you can't talk to him for months. I mean, then when he calls you, which he will, you're going to have to ask him, what's your intention in calling me? Is it to stick 2 feet in this relationship and make it work and heal? If not, you don't want to do it. And, you know, every relationship this man has seems to go down the toxic zone. So, I mean, this is nothing new. It's just that it actually hurts him to hurt you. So at some level, he may walk away just because he doesn't want to hurt you and he can't come to the plate. So sometimes a person who actually leaves our life isn't doing it because they don't love us. It's they love us. They're running from a higher love. But they also, you know, love us enough not to rip our heart out. And that's better karma, to walk away if you're going to do that, than it is to stay here and hurt you. And he has some, like, really negative behaviors, even more than you're probably aware of, because you're bringing out the best in him. And, you know, now you're starting to see some of his true colors. But he is a man prone to a lot of anxiety, by the way. So, you know, that anxiety has to be addressed. He has issues. Try to, you know, take the 2 feet out. Do you think you have the courage to do that? I know it's difficult.
I mean, I'm going to have to do it. I have no choice, you know. I'm already to the point where there's just days that I just don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to interact with anybody. There's just, you know, but I have no choice. I mean, it hurts to rip him from me. It's a literal pain to my heart.
Of course it is.
So much.
And a soulmate love, and he was soulmate, heart, soul, mind, body, when it ends, because the person won't commit to the love or commit to healing, it is a death. It is as profound as the death of any person. It is a death. And the mourning process can't be bypassed. There's a lot of lessons in love being brought to us, and there's a lot of lessons in it being taken away. And some of it is, you know, there's thousands of lessons, and the universe wants you to learn all you can so that they don't have to bring you down this journey again with a soulmate love that doesn't work. So, you know, you learn your lessons. You're responsible for your behavior. Be strong. You know, send him love on a soul plane. I mean, I'm not telling you to try to stop loving a person. It's a waste of energy to try to stop loving somebody. Give up on that notion. You know, I learned how to commune telepathically with everyone, with the dead and other people, because I had a soulmate who left, and it was so profoundly painful for me that all I could do was commune with his soul telepathically. When I tried to stop loving him, it made me crazy. So the point is, in due time, you will be brought another soulmate. They have to give some time to see what he's going to do. I mean, we don't know what he's going to do right now. It's 50-50. It's not the worst odds I've ever seen, by the way. 50-50. But, you know, give it some time. Send him love and peace on the soul plane. Don't talk to him, you know, on the phone unless he calls you, and then find out what the story is about. But if it's more of the jerking around, you just have to tell him you can't do this. And see what happens. The universe is on your side. You are going to have a higher love, whether it's him or someone else. It's still up in the air. But pray that prayer we always speak about, praying for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to healing back. And please call in again, because you do have this wonderful 5-year period opening up. So I don't want you to fall into depression and despair, because there's nothing despairing in these cards. And, you know, there's no words that can comfort you really at this moment. But no matter how high a soulmate that doesn't work out, we have other soulmates. And the universe will bring a person who's worthy of that, and you certainly are, another shot at the animal called a soulmate. He won't be granted another one anytime soon. He will go the toxic zone. It will be the princess that becomes the beast in record time. That's what he'll get. So, you know, he could replace you in a month. That doesn't mean he's replacing you with a higher love by any means. If you want to replace him in a minute, I'll take you to a bar. I'll find 20 guys to do a toxic dance with you in about an hour. You know, I don't think that's what you want. I think you want that real soulmate.
No, exactly. I want this the soulmate. I want it all. I want somebody who's going to love me to me that I love.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's a lot. We have thousands of listeners, by the way, on our radio show, and most of them listen afterwards on the archives. Everyone will call in or email me and say, you know, that woman from Florida, oh, God, it could have been me, you know. So it happens every day that people can't step up to the plate of a higher love. It's just sad. And I hope by the time I die that there's more than 1% of soulmates maintained on Earth, maybe 2 or 3%. I won't even venture to think I can dent the world much more than that. But let's pray for that. And good luck. And please call in and let us know what happens.
Yes, I will.
And we'll pray for you.
I'm glad that you, Nicole, right?
Nicole,
that's
yes.
Right? What?
Nicole, I am glad that you didn't get hurt in your accident.
I know. Don't.
Oh,
we?
Thank you very much, hon.
She's got so much divine guidance, because what would I do without her? You know what I mean? I might be the psychic, but she's my sidekick. I can't do this without her.
Well, thank you, Cindy, and thank you to everybody who's been wishing me so well. I firmly believe that the reason why I've been in such great spirits about everything is because of all of your well wishes. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Right.
And I'll call back
like
in a couple of months.
We've got like a gazillion callers today, so we're going to keep moving around here. You've screened the next one?
Of course I did, Cindy. We are actually going to go on to let's take a New York call for right now. Okay, we're going to cruise over to Jennifer in New York.
Okay.
And right now, Cindy, she is towards the end of her pregnancy. She is about 38 weeks. Okay, and she needs to know, Cindy, do you have any insight onto this? Because she has been in preterm labor 2 times with this pregnancy, and she just wants to know when this kid's going to get here.
Well, I got
the
Empress card, which is definitely the pregnant woman, and across from it I had the happy family celebrating children. Does Jennifer have a child already?
Well, let's see. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
No, I don't have any kids as of now. I actually saw you at the end of May when I first found out I was pregnant, and you were spot on. You said that you thought it would be a boy, and he's going to be a boy.
Good.
And it was based around my grandmother. You said she waited to pick the soul. And so all that's
he's
true.
He's a smart boy. He's a smart boy. He's an older soul. Definitely it's any day now, so relax on it. He's a little reluctant to be born because it's really comfortable inside of you. And once he leaves you and he's not attached to you, he begins his own cycle of karma. And he's a little frightened, you know, to come down to Earth. It's a little scary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a wise being. Your grandma picked a wise being. He has a strong mission on Earth. He hasn't walked the Earth in a long time from what he's saying, because I could talk to any soul, living or dead or whatever, and he's pretty much saying he needs a little bit more spirit training in terms of electronics. What does that mean? If you haven't walked the Earth in 100 years, there were no cell phones, there were no sonograms, there were no nature of radio waves that are around now. So he's getting a little spirit training with that. It's a little
right.
bit scary. It actually hurts them. It feels like a bombardment. But he promises he's getting ready. He doesn't mean to torture you at this point, but you have been taking very good care of yourself during your pregnancy, by the way, and that's greatly appreciated. When was the due date?
It's January 26th.
Okay, because you know, he's, you know, hanging in there as long as he can. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, it looks like any day, you know, again, the due date looks pretty accurate, you know,
from
what I could tell. It might have been off a little bit. You could have been more pregnant than they thought. I mean, that's a possibility. But, you know, he's asking to be patient. Your husband has a grandfather that passed away?
Yes.
Because the grandfather also is very excited about the birth of this boy, and quite a remarkable being. I know it's hard toward the end of the pregnancy, but look at your umbilical cord and your uterus is the babysitter right now.
Right.
Enjoy it.
Okay.
Enjoy
he's okay.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. And you're a little bit of a worrying mom. And, you know, this is your first pregnancy. And with all pregnant women, we think we're the only ones who've ever done this. They're remarkably resilient children. He's a 9,000-year-old being. That means he knows right from wrong. He comes equipped to handle things. And are you sleeping? Because you need a little more rest here. Are you still working?
No, I'm not working anymore. But good. No, sleeping is tricky with, you know, back pain and hip pain, you know.
Yeah, I know. And if you would even just lie down and rest, that would be good, not even sleep so much. And, you know, I happen to be a woman who loves being pregnant, by the way.
Right.
I loved pregnancy. I love not worrying about my fat stomach or a little belly or whatever. I love the hormones. I love not getting my period for 9 months. I thought that in itself was well worth the trip.
Right.
So try to enjoy the time and very excited. You have a wonderful 5-year period opening up. There's another child in the future, too. Do you want another child, too?
We haven't decided yet.
Yeah. Okay, it's good to take one child at a time. I mean, I only have one. I only have one. When I was young, I thought I was going to have five. I only have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to see how it goes and how money goes and how you feel about it. But there is another being that would like to be born to you as well.
Right.
But you are really a good mom. And I'm so excited that, you know, this came to be in fruition. And, know, I love the babies that, you know, I see coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he was such a strong voice that it was a boy. You know, sometimes it's harder to tell because some gender, sometimes they have very masculine energy, but it is a woman. In terms of him, this is, you know, all boy, and he can't wait, and he loves his dad. And, you know, you've prepared a room for him now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're excited. We're just waiting to meet him.
I know. And again, it seems like a very long time, the 9 months when you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter is going to be 32 on February 11th.
Mm-hmm.
That 9 months felt longer than 32 years. So think of it. It does go fast, and enjoy every moment. And nothing, wonderful things in your card. You have a wonderful year ahead of you. So relax and enjoy.
No issues with labor.
You'll have a wonderful labor. Are you going to try to do it naturally, or what are you going to try to do? I mean, I had natural childbirth. My daughter was delivered naturally, and that was 32 years ago, and it was very hard to find anybody who would do that.
Right.
And she was delivered by mid. Really, no, they didn't want to. You know, they wanted to knock me out. You know, and I was one of the women that took my money out of the medical system and went to midwives. Which, you know, whenever I tell doctors that story now, they look at, you're one of those women. Yeah, one of these that made you have birthing rooms in hospitals, made you allow husbands in. Yeah, we took our money out of a system because the doctors really wouldn't cooperate. But I found natural childbirth to be wonderful.
Okay.
It's a little bit hard at some points, but what happens is as soon as your baby's born, you feel wonderful. You don't have any headache from an epidural or any side effects from the drugs.
Right.
So you really feel, like, wonderful.
Okay.
So, and, you know, let us know what happens because we can't wait. But you have a beautiful, beautiful time ahead of you. Try not to beat yourself over the head with worry because you're a little bit of a worrier.
Yeah.
Welcome to motherhood. It's already starting.
Yes, definitely. It's all about him.
Oh, I know. Right. And just have a little bit of courage. Money is going to be very good. Don't worry about money. Whatever.
Okay.
You do. Good luck and call in and rest.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye.
Oh, you know, can I ask one quick question? Do you know anything? We find dimes a lot. It's always, we always find dimes around the house. Do you have any indication?
Good question, yes. Dime used to be the universal amount for a phone call. For years and years and years, up until like recent times, all you ever needed was a dime because then you could call anywhere. Because remember, there wasn't cell phones, so everybody had to carry a dime. You had to go to a payphone. So the dead use it as, you know, call me, I'm always available. So I made a joke around the time that my dad was dying saying, well, I think it has to be at least 3/4 now. You guys got to drop 3/4 because, I mean, we're not going to make a phone call anyway. And the day my dad died, I had to go to the bank to move some money around. And when I came outside of the bank in the parking lot with 3/4.
Oh, wow.
And I knew that was my dad's joke.
Yeah.
I mean, my 3/4. So dimes are just the dead letting us know. We're only a call away. Just ask us for help. And
but
that's
what specific.
Usually it's you know, grandmas or, you know, grandpas, if it's our parent.
Right.
Usually because you're finding so many, you got a number of dead people up there. Do you know what
right.
I mean? So any one of them is dropping dimes. They're all excited about the baby, by the way.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, there's certain times where you will find more dimes. You
right.
know, I tend to find quarters, by the way, okay. now. You know, so maybe we should start saying, oh, how about $100 bills? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, she's, isn't that lovely? She's having her baby. Don't you just love when they call and tell me I was right? I just love it.
Yes.
You know, just love
except
it.
When, except when it's me telling you that you're right, and it's because my car flipped over.
Yeah, no, I don't like those kinds. I like the kind that, yes, you're pregnant, relax, it's good. You know, it's all good. You know, for some reason, your generation thinks it's hard to make a baby. I think they're nuts. My whole generation spent their whole life trying to not have too many babies, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, it's really, you know, make love and it happens.
Oh, so, dear Lord.
We're now going to go over to where, because I see we've got a lot of callers. So
yeah, we've got several callers here. We are going to move on to Ohio right now. We're going to speak to Kelly.
Okay.
And she wants to know what you see for her and Jay, if you ever see them getting together. You know, she had said that, you know, they were just friends and everything, and nothing, you know, but he's been contacting her lately, Cindy, and she wants to know if anything's going to happen out of that. So we'll move on to Kelly. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey,
hi, Kelly. How are you?
How are you?
Good. And that's a great question because I think we have a lot of listeners that could definitely relate to that. Does he know that you have romantic feelings for him? Because he's not a
yeah,
mind reader.
Does.
Okay, so you've told him.
Yeah.
And did that make him run at one point?
Does it
did it make him run away from you at one point?
Oh, yeah. Lots of times.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Because he's a major commitment phobic. And what's showing here is he hasn't changed. He's really
uh-huh.
not playing fair with you. You guys really were soulmates. You had that heart, soul, mind. He won't give the body too much because that's the part of you that could die and he could die. And he's so afraid of loving somebody that could, God forbid, die on him that he
right.
won't give you that part of him. Do you understand that? As ridiculous it is, as it is, most people are committed commitment phobics. They come home to people they don't love with their heart, soul, mind. They come home with their body, the part that's going to die.
Right.
And the ironic part about it is we've had enough lifetimes where we really fear loving somebody who could die on us. And that's what's
mm-hmm.
going on with this man. And there's no lack of him not loving you. This man loves you. But you're going to have to be a little firmer about telling him, I can't do this anymore. You can't keep
right.
calling me every 3 or 4 months. Just when I've, like, weaned off of you and gotten strong and luring
oh,
me back in.
Absolutely. I have, and that's, I've been working on that very much. I've been very short with him.
And how has he responded to that?
He, you know, not very well. He'll be kind of, short back, like, kind of surprised, I guess, that I'm acting that way.
Right, and that's what you have to do. It's almost... He's at the outer limits in which the universe will hold your other soulmate at bay. What does that mean? We have about 30 soulmates on the planet. There's one
mm-hmm.
circling very close to you, but the universe is keeping you from being in alignment with him just to see what this guy does this time around.
Hmm.
After that, you know, it's over for him. And relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. How long have you known him?
About 15 years.
Okay, that's 3 5-year cycles.
Mm-hmm.
At this 15-year mark, it's going to be over. You're going to be brought someone else. You had your own closet commitment phobia. That's why you tolerated this so long. Have you overcome your own fears of commitment now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Your dad has passed away?
No. Mm-mm.
Is his father gone?
Yes.
Because that's the father that's talking. And he's saying his son doesn't want to love somebody who could die on him. That's what his dad's saying. And his father is saying at this point, he had hoped in his heart of hearts that his son would embrace you and love you. And that you guys would, you know, have a family together. But at this point... he's understanding that it may not come to be. So, you know, his dad likes you very much, by the way. They're a really good person. How
mm-hmm.
old are you at this point?
27.
Okay, because, you know, he had wanted you to be the, you know, the mother of his grandchildren. This man thought you were going to be the mother of his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're... You know, you were brought very young. When usually when soulmates are brought that young, how you were young when you met him. It's because children normally know how to love better than when they're older. This is when the fear starts kicking in the 20s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he doesn't come around in the next, say, this year,
uh-huh.
this will be over. And,
right.
you know, and you know, did you ever meet his dad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because his dad likes you very, very much.
Yeah. His family us a few times. We actually used to work in a restaurant together, and I've met his family, and they all like me.
He adores you. And, again, the roots of sometimes someone being afraid to love is when we lose a parent or somebody very significant
mm-hmm.
that we never want to hurt that way again. But what's your choice? Mediocre love, not loving? I try to prove that death ends a life, but not a relationship. The dead never stop loving us, and if we love someone with our heart, soul, mind, and body, and God forbid he or she should die, they can grant us another soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that after his father died, he changed a lot. Are you aware of that?
His dad hasn't passed away.
Yeah, but there's a man who knows him very well. Is it a grandfather that knew him very well?
Oh, definitely
but
his
very
grandpa.
Very close, very loving. I mean, like more like a father, resonating very much like a father.
He actually wants to get his grandpa's name tattooed on him, so it's got to be his grandpa.
Right, because the grandfather resonates like a dad, because if a grandparent, like I don't hear a voice, I hear like a tone, like on a piano, a father would have a certain tone. A grandfather who was very close will resonate very close to his father.
Yeah.
So he's the one who's telling me the family adores you. They thought that you would be, the, you know, they don't know what's the matter with their son. They think he's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that his grandfather, you know, was hoping it would work out with you guys, but
mm-hmm.
is getting a little discouraged at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be, too. Where does he live in relationship to you?
I'm sorry, what?
Where does he live in relationship to where you live? How close or how far?
Oh, 15 minutes.
I know. There's no excuse for this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's no excuse. But, you know, call in and let us know. His grandfather likes that he's going to get his name tattooed on him. He thinks it's great, but he would like it better if he got you a wedding ring. That would make his grandfather a hell of a lot happier than a tattoo.
Right.
You know, but it is what it is. And
right.
Just know that the family really wants you as a member of their family.
Mm-hmm.
They would love to have you as a daughter-in-law and, you know.
Yeah.
It's his misfortune, you know what I'm saying? But 15 years is a long time.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago is when we really got to know each other. I mean, we went to school and stuff together, but didn't really talk in school, you know.
Right, but the universe has to bring people in alignment when they can, so sometimes they're brought 15, 20, 25 years ahead of time.
Right.
Just so that later when we're ready for it, it would happen, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
again, you know, pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be the same. I mean, your generation has a real hard trouble saying the word relationship. It's the booty calls, friends with benefits, hookups, you know. You don't want that. You want him to be, you know, a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's an insult. His grandpa's saying it's an insult for him to call you a booty call. His grandfather's really offended by the term, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, me and Jay, we laid in a bed together for almost 2 years, like numerous times without anything sexual happening. I mean, he really respected me in that end of things.
Right, but again, if he didn't love you, he would have screwed the hell out of you. That's the truth of
the
matter. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a testimony how much he loved you that he couldn't, you know, take that quantum leap into making love to you. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't make sense why he would lie next to you and not make love to you. It's because, you know,
right.
scared the
mm-hmm.
hell out of him.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens, and thanks so much for sharing your story. Yes, go ahead.
What's your website? I wanted to write it down here.
Okay. It's Grant, like G-R-A-N-T, grantmeahigherlove.com. It's like
Grant.
Steve Winwood's song, Bring Me a Higher Love, Only God Grants Us a Higher Love.com. And
Grant.
That's based on Grant, G-R-A-N-T. Grant
Me
a Higher, H-I-G-H-E-R, a Higher Love.com.
GrantMeAHigherLove.com.
Right, because that's the name of my book, Grant Me a Higher Love.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so thanks so much for asking about the website, because I always forget to promote things, you know?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Thank God that my the listeners are good marketers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, and let us know what happens.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, doesn't that sound like a similar story we've heard before?
Oh, they all sound like very similar stories, Cindy.
Well, that's what this radio show tries to prove. I try to prove that we're not all that unique, that we all think we're so unique and complex and special. No, you're not. Your behavior patterns are so predictable, it's frightening. And, you know, just know that we're all in the same boat here. But, you know, each time we take a step toward a higher love, you know, it resonates in the whole world. So, you
know. Absolutely.
And you've been screening frantically. We have people from all over tonight, huh?
Good. Well, I'm trying to get as many people as I possibly can.
Good for you.
By the way, what is your clock say, Cindy? Is it finally fixed?
No, mine says a wrong time. So I'm looking at an atomic clock I put here that says 7:41.
All right. Okay, so I was just going to fill you in. We've got about 18 minutes to go. All right, and we've got about two callers, you know, left in the queue. And, of course, if you get through a couple of these, we'll queue somebody else up. All right, so we're going to move on to Pennsylvania right now. We're going to speak to Linda. All right, and she wants to know what you see in terms of a permanent romantic relationship. She's concerned whether or not this is going to be any of the people that she's currently dating, or is there somebody new that she has not even met yet? So let's move on to Linda in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi,
Nicole.
Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And 2012 was a very good year for you, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
Particularly money-wise. So relax about money.
Okay.
The new source of income or better money. So money is good. In terms of the guys in your life, funny, sometimes the answer is in the question. When we're, you know, with a very high soulmate, or we don't have to ask if this one is the one.
Right.
I'm seeing, like, God is bringing you a smorgasbord of people. You know, here's this level of love, kind of a man to fit a plan. This one, you know, kind of interchangeable with anybody else. Do you feel that you have a soulmate here?
No.
Because I'm not seeing it. So I'm just glad you're in agreement with that, because...
Right.
One of the relationships has a real strong possibility to turn really toxic. So you're an older soul. You bring out the best in people, and you see the best. It's not a good trait. It's what makes older souls, like you, me, and Nicole, would be dining with Hitler and Mussolini in 1944. They would be great guys to us. Frightening. So
I know.
One of the guys is a potential Hitler here. I mean, a real... be careful, because he's a sex addict, and I don't know if you know which one it would be, but he's one who is telling you that he doesn't sleep with anybody else, perhaps, but it's not true.
Oh.
So, you know, make sure if you are sleeping with people, you're practicing safe sex. If your radar tells you something he's telling me is not true, because I'm a real advocate of... you know, I'm a very liberal person. I really don't care if somebody wants to sleep with 900 people. That's not my problem. That's not my business. But I do advocate telling people you're sleeping, you know, telling a nice girl you're sleeping with 900 other people. So
right.
That she can make her decision if she wants to sleep with you and 900 other people, and to practice safe sex. Do you know which one they're talking about?
Actually, one that I'm dating, I really don't know well enough to know. Maybe he does fit that. He does claim that he doesn't sleep around, but he isn't pushing it, and neither am I, so it's safe. But my former boyfriend, who we went out for many years, broke up for a year and a half, but we spoke like every week for, you know, a year and a half. About 2 months ago, I told him I'm pulling 2 feet out, because, you know, he's not interested in reconciling, and so we didn't talk for 2 months, and then over the holidays he contacted me, and he's telling me he's with people, so I'm not sure if you're referring to him.
Yeah, that's definitely him, and, you know, the funny part about it is these manipulators, first they tell us they're not sleeping with anybody else. They always tell us that, because then when the blinders are off, we realize, God, he's sleeping with a person. They tell us, well, I'm sleeping with a few people. I mean, if they say a few, it's probably a few hundred. Do you understand? It's like they tell a little bit of truth, because now he's telling me the truth, so now I got to believe him.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely still wants you, but if you even go near him, it's going to get bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to get bad. You brought out the best in him, but he's been really pretty much going on some really weird websites. He has a friend who's dead. Do you know who that could be? Did you know one of his friends?
No.
Because this is a younger man. You know, he's not old like a father. He wasn't like, you know, he's pretty young. He probably was a teenager when he died, by the way. So they knew each other a while ago. And basically saying he's connecting with some pretty weird people and women that you know, and stuff. So he's advising you to stay away from him.
Okay. So I shouldn't even call him back?
If you want to give it closure, but and pretty much say, look, I already told you if you can't stick 2 feet in, I don't want it. Now you're telling me I want to stick one dirty toe in with you while I've got 9 toes with 9 other women. I mean, come on. Is this
right?
I mean,
right.
He thinks because he's telling you some truth, it's like, oh, here's good news. I'm not lying. You know, so.
Yeah.
He's really also got some other behaviors that you might not be aware of. The devil card came up on him. That can mean
right.
A lot of stuff, okay? It can mean
yeah.
Drugs, alcohol. I mean, the universe considers him a dead deal with you, so they don't want to do what's called smearing your face in shit. What does that mean? If we don't walk away from a bad man or a bad woman, the universe will eventually show us the full extent of their behavior. Sometimes it's so shocking we can't believe it. They don't find a need to do that to you right now, but if you do go back and date him, that will happen. What might just come is you go to the doctor and you have a venereal disease. I don't want that for you. Do you know what I'm saying? Cause
yeah, he's bad.
He
was wonderful. I don't know what happened to him.
Because you brought out the best in Hitler. He was that good man for you, but eventually people fall to the level of evolution. They go to fall. It's much easier to have people bring us down than it is to keep them lifted. You
uh-huh.
also are a good person, and the card that got is you have a lot of blinders on. There were red flags all along, even from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
You just didn't see them. And now if you were to go out with him with this piece of information, and if you go out with him, you might be surprised how the red flags are going zoom, zoom, zoom. Oh, my God, how did I never see this before?
I know. I mean, I almost can't believe some of the things he tells me because I'm like, who are you? You were so wonderful when we were together. Like, what happened to you? And he goes, I'm the same person.
No, he's not. First of all, he's hooked on porn. And people who get hooked on porn and the level of porn in the internet – has subliminal messages that tells you this is not kinky enough, you need to go kinkier, that it's like worse than heroin. Like, it's really bad. So people who watch it for a long time oftentimes cannot have normal sex anymore. They have to get kinkier and kinkier. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, I have thousands and thousands of clients. I find this information out through channeling and through, like, the universe will bring me 500 guys that are hooked on porn for readings and say, God, I can't even sleep with my wife anymore. What's happening?
Yeah. He's, like, into live porn, like, going
like
to
the live
Instagram
porn
shows.
Is even worse because,
right.
A, it's an addiction that costs a fortune. B, the live porn oftentimes, go meet me at Craigslist, go meet me at a diner, go meet me for a blowjob in the backyard or whatever. It gets really, really toxic. The man is a really toxic sex addict.
Wow.
And it's a major problem in America, and it's not addressed enough, and it's not talked about enough. You know what it is to see a 30-year-old guy, handsome, with a beautiful wife who's crying that he can't get it up for his own wife anymore? Because he's so hooked on porn, and that he's so scared because now he's calling Craigslist. This is a nice man who's now can't control his behavior. And I'll tell him the only cure for sex addiction is no porn, no more looking at it, no more masturbation, only making love to your wife. And some guys just can't do it. The ones who do it remarkably can heal, but it's rare now. It's rare, the healing. It's a hard process. And if you combine drugs, alcohol, forget it. You got a problem it's horrible. So, you know, that's why I said stay away from him unless you want to, you know, you can risk getting HIV because after a while they start going to transgenders. That's the problem. And it starts getting kinkier and kinkier and it's just really a mess.
Wow.
And I'm pretty naive, so for me to deliver this is not pleasant talk for me. But
I know, and you know what, Cindy, you're right on because he has talked about some of these people that he's met, yeah.
And that's why I'm saying to you, you've already had some of your face smeared in shit, I'll tell you some more. I mean, I've been told lately to be much more bolder and blunter with people. I've got to tell them the truth, even if
the truth is everything.
And even, but I don't want my clients to get major venereal disease. I don't want them getting HIV. I don't want them brought down that darkness because it really is a dark, dark path. And, you know, heroin addiction is easier to get off than to get off of porn addiction because the roots of sex addiction is sexual abuse. And, you know, to get to that, sometimes men are not, it's so repressed they don't know that they've been sexually abused. So you may never uncover that. But there's a whole new breed of sex addicts never in the history of the world created by the internet. Little boys whose brothers let them look at porn when they were 7. And you created a new breed of sexually abused children. They weren't abused physically, but they looked at porn way too young.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's a problem. And, you know, the man you're with now, you know, he's a nice enough man. He's like a man to fit a plan. He's not a bad man. He's okay. But he's not your soulmate. And the universe needs you to understand that the man that we're talking about now once was your soulmate. He's not your soulmate. It's as toxic as it gets. Let it go. Close the door completely and allow the universe to bring you another soulmate. You can't fix him, by the way. Don't even get roped in when they start telling the truth. He's telling you some of the truth of his addiction. So now, well, he's telling me the truth, so now I have to forgive him. Now I have to understand it. No, I don't have to forgive you or understand it. You know, thanks for sharing it with me. You made me realize who you are. But I'm not your problem. I'm not part of it. So it's a new level of manipulation when people start sharing their dirt with us. Now you have to help me. Now you got to do something about it.
Yeah, I keep telling him I'm worried about him. And he's like, oh, isn't that nice? I'm like, no, I'm serious that you're playing Russian roulette here. You're going to get sick. You're going to get diseases.
Well, I will need to tell you this. Every sexually abused person, until they're healed, has a death wish. There should be a cemetery a billion big for all the people that died from sexual abuse. Either they kill themselves, they become prostitutes, they pick men who will beat them to death, they eat themselves to death, drink themselves to death, or have promiscuous sex until it kills them. So it is a death wish. That's at the bottom of it, the destruction.
Wow.
You know, and it's not like it can't be healed. I was a product of sexual abuse my whole life. It doesn't mean you cannot heal it. It doesn't mean you can't put it in a past life and move on. But it does mean years of walking through bloody alleyways. I wouldn't wish what I walked through to heal. I mean, it was difficult. It was hard. You know, I took on this lifetime to guide people, to help them, to understand that I don't really care what your mommy, daddy, or somebody else did to you. Knock it off and stop doing it to me. But the point is, he's giving in to the dark side. And until he stops, maybe it'll scare him. One day, you know what happened? He'll pick up the wrong person. They'll beat that crap out of him near death and rob him blind, and maybe he'll hit bottom and realize. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Well,
he may really have to hit bottom. And the person who's dead, who's speaking, by the way, knows a lot about the sexual abuse in that man's past. So I don't know, even though if that was his abuser or knew the abuser. So I'm just telling you, that's where the information was coming from.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar.
I don't think you want to probe because, you know, from what I could tell, that person isn't a particularly nice person on Earth and not in a particularly nice realm up there. So sometimes they're let out of like hell-like realms to share very important pieces of information that helps make sense to you.
Okay.
And unless a person is willing to heal issues, and this could then, you know, destroy your life. if you're getting terrible herpes or you get HIV, you know, your life is going to be different. You're going to, you know, have a problem that shouldn't have been yours.
Right, right.
And again, it's not your job to rescue him. Get over the notion that we can fix people.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to talk sense into him, and I don't think I'm getting very far.
Talking
you know?
Sense doesn't work for addicts, really. You know, they have to hit bottom. They really do. And all of us who keep like carrying everybody's cross, if you wonder why bad things happen to good people, is you keep cleaning up everybody's mess.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, I got to take your money away or your health. You get the hell out of my way and let that drug addict fall and hit bottom as low as it goes.
Right, right.
So, you know, there's a point in which, you know, you can't carry his cross. You can, you know, send him love on a soul plane. I'm not saying, you know,
right,
don't
right.
do that and wish him well. But
I do. I do. I pray for him, really. I really do. I pray all the time that he, you know, he gets out of this, you know, and realizes the people he's hanging around with, he's becoming, you know, he's becoming just like them, you know. And
I need to tell you, the sex addiction can often lead them down the path of prescription drugs. And once you put, you know, you put Vicodin or oxycodone or Xanax or anything with the sex addiction, it is a massively, you know, hard thing to overcome. And he seems to be going, you know, further and further into the darkness. That's pretty much what they're, you know, what's being said. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, at this point, turn, you know, walk away.
Okay.
And, you know, unfortunately, the porn industry is tremendous, and it's just really gotten to be really bad. You know, some of the porn, it borderlines, you know, really horrible. I mean, I personally am not a fan of porn, so I can't even tell you what it looks like. I'm only telling you what people have told me what's going
right.
on. Like, really?
Right.
It's pretty shocking, you know, so.
Now, this is clearly my former boyfriend, not the one I'm dating now, is it?
I mean, again, sometimes what we don't learn one lesson from one person, if your radar tells you something's not kosher, start
right.
trusting it. Do you understand that?
Right.
Our radar
right.
will usually tell us when somebody's not who we thought they were.
Right.
So, you know, trust your gut. You know, really trust your gut and go with it. And, again, I'm not judging it. You can do whatever you want, but do I have to have it in my life? I don't, you know,
no.
not really.
I mean, I was just going to call him back because he called me 2 days ago and, you know, I figured, well, is it rude not to call back? And I never know what to
okay,
do. Because
nice
I don't...
people always want to be nice. They always want to be
I know.
Nice. I mean, this man could bring you HIV and you want to be nice. That's when I, you know, older souls, I think we're nuts. Do you understand that? We're not in touch with real emotion. Now, if a man, let's love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. If a man who could give your beloved daughter HIV is calling her, would you tell her, yeah, call and say hi, honey? You'd say, stay away.
Right, right.
So, again, just because he calls you doesn't mean you have to open up that vortex with him.
Okay.
And the fact that what he shared with you is one-tenth of what's actually going on. So, remember, they tell us a little bit of truth.
Right,
like the
right.
I call it the Tiger Woods. No, I never slept with anybody else. Never. Okay, maybe it was one. Okay, now I'm talking with two. It's two. Okay, maybe it was four. Maybe it was 4,000. You know, they tell a little bit of truth. You know what I mean? And you're laughing because you know it's true.
Well, you know, he's been telling me stuff over a year that, you know, like, and I keep saying, you know, if you dabble this, you're just going to get in deeper and deeper, and now he has. And I know I told him, I said, I told you what was going to happen. You're being manipulated. They're flipping you, you know. And
you said the right word. The devil, if anybody wants to know what the devil is, it's manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's being manipulated to the dark side. And why are the powers to be, the narcissists of the world, want to bring us down to addictions? Addictions are fear-based people that you can control. If they rise to power, you can just bring them down by revealing their perversion or their addictions. It is a way of keeping people lower chakra, tied to the low realms of earth instead of evolving. And it is a way of keeping love toxic. You know, fear-based people are controllable people. Healed people, you're not going to control us.
Right.
We'll know when we have to, you know, fight back and rebel. So at this point, you know, you had a lot to learn from him. But, you know, trust your gut. Your gut is really good, by the way. You just have been brainwashed to believe you don't have one, but you really do.
Right.
I
trust people. I do see the good in people. But on a positive note, is there anybody good coming?
Yes, there is. Absolutely. Absolutely. The first thing I said to you is, if you remember, is this is a very good year for you, money-wise and love-wise in every way. So,
Okay.
You need to close that chapter. You need to understand you're not going to fix him. There's really, sex addiction of that level is incurable right now. Nobody really knows how to cure it. I give advice how you can begin to go through it, but it is one of the ones that it's really hard to cure. So, you know, it's sad, but it's the truth. And even all the drugs they're creating, the oxycodones, they're all getting harder and harder to ever overcome an addiction. Now, you can't tell me that's not engineered by evil people.
Right.
You know, human beings by nature are creatures of habit and addiction. Do we have to make everything even harder to break away from?
I know he doesn't do drugs. He doesn't do drugs. So,
are you sure he doesn't take any kind of prescription pill? Like, you know, he got a toothache and he takes oxycodone because, you know.
No, I mean, I knew him been a long, long time, and he's never taken drugs. You know, so.
Again, if he's going to live interactive sites, it is part of the pushing. So, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
No, again, it's just pretty scary. The cards are scary here. Well, good luck to you. We're at the end of our show.
Well, thank you, Shelby. Thank you so much.
And good luck to you, and thanks for sharing your story with us, because I'm sure there was probably 1,000 listeners that could relate to what we just talked about. Good luck. Now, Nicole, do you have a shout-out for everybody?
Yes, actually, I'm going to shout out to Danielle. She was also in the queue today, Cindy, and she could not get through today. So I'm just going to advise Danielle, if you would please, just give us a call back. I'm going to make note of your telephone number here. Give us a call back next week. We'll make sure that we take your call next week. And aside from that, Cindy, my only other shout out is to my beautiful, beautiful girlfriend, who has been taking such great care of me, who's been trekking me back and forth therapy and treating me like, you know, the queen of the castle. So
and
I love
you are the queen of the castle. And Nicole, did you learn anything on the show today?
I certainly did.
More than people want to hear sometimes. You know what I mean? But,
it's all good then.
I know, and again, good luck to everybody, and we will speak to you next week, and have a great love filled week, everybody. Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.